Well, why are we talking about Sheffield Wednesday? I had him in my FIFA career mode like 3 years ago, and he did bits.
We should get some theme tune music for this section. Hello and welcome to this fourth episode now. I want to say fourth, yeah, I'm correct. Fourth episode of EFL at URN. As usual, Luke is here with me. Good week, Luke.
It's been all right, apart from the football. So, yeah. I'm glad that we got the last episode out, well, late, but not as late as the last one.
Yeah, we're definitely, I wouldn't say speeding up, but, you know, we're starting to get in the right time frame for when these should be posted. It's been a busy week of football. We've had EFL action over the weekend, and then Tuesday, Wednesday night, we've had the Carabao Cup second round. It all kick-started with a 2-0 win for Norwich over Millwall on Friday night. So if we do our usual way we run this show now, start with League Two. So I think the first real game we should probably look at is Leighton Orient versus Colchester. Leighton Orient are now currently topping League Two after a really good 3-1 win over Colchester. They've collected 13 points from 5 games. Is this, you know, could this be their year, do you think now? We're 5 games in, you're starting to maybe see the tables take shape into what we could expect towards the end of this year?
Yeah, I think we're still pretty early on, but I think Leighton Orient are looking very solid this year. I think they're doing very well. They're unbeaten in the league. Only one of about 3 teams in League 2 to be unbeaten. And they've got quite a solid defence too. If you look at it, only conceding 2 goals. And I think on paper, they've got a really good League 2 team. I think the manager this year, Ricky Wellens, is very equipped at League 2 and even League 1 standards, really. And I think they've got a good base now to kick on, really.
Yeah, definitely. And if you look at the game, the first game, the first goal for them was an own goal by Chambers in the 16th minute. But then in the second half, you got Archibald scoring, Kelman scoring. Kelman especially is the sort of player that League 2, he should probably, well, not boss this league, but he should be one of the top goal scorers this league if he can really get going. And also, the latest standout sign for me so far has been George Moncur, bringing him down from the Championship. You know, he was at Hull last year, didn't really play. But I think he's an excellent player. And at this level, I think they've made some very smart signings who can really help kick him on.
Yeah, and they're against one of the favourites to go down, really. And Colchester not proving it that much at the moment. But they're not doing great at all, I think. They can't really do anything against Leighton Orient defence, which looks really good to me.
Yeah, yeah. They've got Omar Beckles in there. You know, well-known. Anybody who knows League 1, League 2 will know about Omar Beckles. You're shaking your head there. But yeah, as we said, Colchester, they're sort of holding their own. They currently sit 18th in the table. But then again, we are early in the year. And as we said, favourites, one of the favourites to go down. So no real surprise. So if we move on to another game then that occurred in League 2 this weekend, and we'll go for Doncaster versus Salford. This is very much a top of the table sort of clash. Salford went 1-0 up thanks to Thomas Asante, who gets himself another goal. However, goals from by Hurst in the 45th and 63rd saw Doncaster go home with the points. Do you think Salford had quite a good start? They're in the automatics at the start of the year, still in the playoffs. Do you think they can hold on to this?
Yeah, I don't think they really played too badly against Doncaster. I think they were just wasteful with the chances, with the shots, definitely, because they've got 1.6 XG compared to Doncaster's 0.6. So that suggests that they did boss the game and they have 69% possession. So maybe Doncaster would be thankful that they won the game, because they did take the chances. And realistically, Salford, with that much of the ball and that many shots, should really have won this game. And I really think they'll be up there towards the end of the season. This might just be one of them games where it's just a little bit of a blip for them.
Yeah, and it's Doncaster, if we could sort of say the same question towards them that we've said about Salford there, is that they currently sit 5th, and, you know, 11 points from 5 games. Obviously, they got relegated from League One last year. Do you think they've got the quality to stay where they are, or do you think we'll see a fade?
I don't know. I've been a bit surprised by Doncaster. I didn't expect them to be this good this quickly. They're one of the only teams to not have lost in League Two so far this season. And as you say, Carl Hurst is A really good find for them. Only 20 and scoring a brace in League Two is pretty fantastic, really.
Yeah, definitely. The signing from Birmingham, he's just really showed his class with the two goals. The first goal was I've heard it was a lob chip from 20 yards out over the goalkeeper's head. So if he's bringing that sort of magic down to League Two and he's only very young, he could really push on up the leagues over the next few years.
Tomlin got an assist. Tomlin got an assist after his red card earlier in the season. Not making up for that red card, but helping the team in a pretty good way. He's pretty old now, so yeah, not too much to go for him. But yeah, he's picked up the pace a little bit in recent matches since his straight red. He could be a good figurehead for Doncaster in their promotion push if he doesn't get sent off more, obviously.
Yeah, I was quite surprised when he got put straight back in the team.
I would have put him out for the match, for a few matches.
Yeah. Okay. Move on to a third League Two game then, and that is Swindon versus Rochdale. This game sort of stands out as the Rochdale manager sacking becomes the first sacking of the season. And now that the manager's Rochdale, they are still the only side yet to pick up a point in the league. And also on the reverse side, are we seeing, Swindon starting to pick themselves up again after that playoff defeat last year, and they're slowly starting to climb the table again. Are things turning there?
Well, Rochdale obviously first manager loss of the season. I think most people really expected it. They didn't look like they were very good on paper at all. On the flip side, you've got Harry McCurdy, who's now got a few £1,000 fine for basically going into the referee's changing rooms a couple of matches ago when he was sent off and lobbing a protein shake everywhere, going all over the referee's suit. So yeah. Three match ban for him and a few £1,000 fine, which could really affect him moving from Swindon, which could actually be a blessing in disguise for them because he is definitely one of the better players. Yeah, teams won't really look at him. Well, higher up teams won't really look at McCurdy and think, wow, he's such a good player. They'll think, wow, he's such well, McCurdy, really, he's arrogant, not the best player to have in your squad. He might be a bit of a toxic presence in the changing rooms. So maybe teams, after hearing that news, and on top of literally every other team that he's been with, their statements about him and stuff, they might think twice about signing him.
Yeah, definitely. Gone are the days where it's just how you play on the pitch. Teams are really doing ruthless scouting and trying to make sure that each player they bring in isn't going to disrupt the squad. And his behaviour like this from McCurdy, yes, he scores a lot of goals, gets a lot of assists, but is he really going to slot into a team seamlessly when he's going in the referees' changing rooms and lobbing around a load of stuff? So in this game, you've seen goals for the likes of Johnny Williams as well. I know another good player that they brought down from Cardiff. Is this side, Swindon side, could you say it's quite strong for the not so good start?
I don't really know because if they played another team than Rochdale, I would be so sure that they would have won because Rochdale looked like the worst team in the league at the moment. So you can't really tell how good they are compared to other teams. And they only won one in four before this game. So I don't have much like hope in them at the moment because, again, their wins have not come against like teams that you would have thought would be up there by the end of the season. Well, they've won one and drawn three, which does suggest that they're okay. But I don't know. Their only wins come against the bottom of the league. So yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised if they stay like mid-table-ish.
Yeah, they're definitely a team that could be full of surprises. Losing the manager, losing the right back, the goalkeeper, all to Charlton. It's and Jack Payne as well. Don't forget about him.
Yeah, he would have been a massive loss.
So yeah, we're going to be seeing a completely different side, especially major change of the manager, of course. But I think they're one to watch because they may find themselves creeping in the playoffs. But then again, something may happen and they may stay where they are now at 13th for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and a good find for them this season. Did he play much? I don't think he played much last season, but this Jacob Wakeling, he had a goal and assist in this game. Only 20 years old again, so it has a pretty big career ahead of him, really. Definitely could go up the leagues if he carries on his current form.
Definitely. We're seeing a lot this year of a lot of young players really taking League Two by storm. As mentioned earlier in the prior game, by Hurst at Doncaster as well, for example, and we've mentioned a few in previous episodes as well.
And McCurdy isn't that old either, is he? So, I mean, he's 25, so not young, but I do think he will get a move towards the end of this transfer window, maybe to a League One club. I mean, I think Shrewsbury definitely staying away from him. I think Milton Keynes should. I think most teams with, well, who aren't looking especially just at quality and about character, they definitely won't go for him because he seems like one of the worst players to have in the dressing room.
Yeah, it's just that he's definitely capable of playing at League One, high-end League One, and his stats do show that. It's just his attitude off the pitch that needs sorting out if he ever does want this proper move to a big club. Another game in League Two then that we should probably look at is Bradford 3, Hartlepool 1. This is Bradford's first away win of the season. What's your thoughts on this game?
I think that they're picking up form, well, especially the last couple of games. They look quite good, really. Being Hartlepool 3-1, and Hartlepool, again, have not started great, only 2 points from 5 games. But again, you see Harry Chapman on fire, well, not on fire, but relatively lively. You see Cook for them, who's quite old now, 31. He's got a brace. He's been at various clubs over the years in League One and Two in the National League, so he's pretty much a journeyman at this level. On the whole, Bradford have got a pretty good team, and I wouldn't be surprised seeing a few of these players in definitely in League One next season. Especially Harry Chapman, he should be a League One player. Alex Gilliard, he's quite good for League Two, really good for League Two. He started out as a winger, now he plays as like CDM or centre mid now, which is a bit odd. And then you've got Leangold, yeah, Leangold, who's proven to be a decent striker in this league, and sometimes in League One too when he's up for it. Think it's the players off the bench that kind of made the impact in this game for me. You've got Kean Harrods with an assist in the 64th minute, and Songo with an assist in the 88th to wrap it up. They've also left Verdine Oliver out, which is a bit odd. I don't think he's played too many games this season. Well, not too many minutes this season anyway, because I don't know, maybe Mark Hughes probably doesn't rate him by the looks of it so far, because he's only had just over like maybe about 200 minutes so far this season. Basically, only starting 2 games in the four when you would have thought he'd definitely be a guaranteed starter for this Bradford City team.
I think Harry Chapman, why have I said that so weird? Harry
Chapman.
Chapman, Harry Chapman, I think he's, a real coup for them, bringing him down to this league. I think he'll be one of the, he's, well, he already is one of the standout players, with that assist for Banks. I think Banks' goal in this game is very good. It's been described as a sweet curl, left-footed finish to the bottom left corner. But yeah, I think this Bradford team's full of quality. And I think the difference is as you've been sort of talking about, is benches at this league. If you're looking at these two benches, how we've said they've got Oliver on the bench or Sonogo, I think these sort of bring sort of quality on in the second half, especially now we can make five subs. I think that could be a real crucial turning point for a lot of teams. And if you're looking at Hartlepool, I don't really you compare the benches if you're looking at it, and they haven't got the same strength as a team such as Bradford, or especially teams such as Leyton Orient and I don't know, Doncaster at the top of the table. So it does go back to this new five sub rule. Could this really be a turning point? Especially seeing as Bradford scored two goals, in the 65th and the 92nd minute to put the game to bed. So is it, would you say football's becoming more of a who's got the best defense? Sorry, who's got the best benches? Or would you say it's just by chance?
Yeah, I think it's not who's got the best starting 11 now. I think it's who's got the best squad, definitely, which will again benefit the bigger teams in the leagues.
Yeah.
So elsewhere in League Two on last Saturday, there was Barrow 1, Harrogate Town 0. Barrow again continuing their good run of form. Crawley 0, Wimbledon 2. Great start for what Harry thought were going to be playoff contenders. Not a great start for the new owners. Crewe 2, Northampton 2, Doncaster 2, was off of one we've already said. Gillingham 0, Walsall 0. Walsall really slowed down in recent weeks. Grimsby 0, Sutton 0, Mansfield 2, Stockport County 1, Mansfield picking up the pace a bit, Newport 2, Tranmere 1, Stevenage 2, Carlisle 1. Stevenage is on fire at the moment. And yeah, well, we already talked about Swindon 3, Rochdale 0. So quite a busy week in League 2, lots of goals. At least two goals in most matches anyway, apart from Barrow and Walsall and Sutton. So yeah, pretty lively weekend in League 2.
Yeah, you know, a lot of goals happening.
So these will be my quick fire predictions for next weekend. Harry's going to read out the different fixtures for me and I'll have to answer them within like 2 seconds, 3 seconds. So yeah, we've done this before. We didn't count the points. We probably will count the points at some point. It's probably like 3 points for a correct score. At 1 point for correct result, not result. Yeah, result. So yeah, we should probably do that in recent next weeks.
Yeah, we'll get a table going. I'm sure there'll be some formatting to do. Right. So are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. AFC Wimbledon versus Barrow.
1-1.
Bradford City versus Crewe Alexandra.
2-1 Bradford.
Carlisle versus Gillingham.
1-0 Carlisle.
Harrogate Town versus Newport.
2-2.
Leighton Orient versus Hartlepool.
1-0 Leighton Orient.
Northampton versus Doncaster.
2-1 Doncaster.
Rochdale versus Crawley.
0-0.
Salford versus Stevenage.
2-2 late Stevenage equaliser.
Stockport versus Swindon.
2-1 Stockport.
Sutton versus Mansfield.
3-1 Mansfield.
Tranmere versus Colchester.
2-0 Tranmere.
And finally, Walsall versus Grimsby.
1-0 Grimsby.
Very interesting. I'm liking the little detail on that Stevenage game there. Trying to predict when the goals are coming.
Well, let's be honest. We haven't really spoke about it, but Stevenage, week after week, is scoring in injury time to either win games or equalise games. That's pretty incredible. And, well, rightly at the top of the table for that.
Yeah, they're definitely showing that every minute counts and pushing to the end. Right, let's move on up to League One then. This is what's been happening in League One. You know, you've got this weekend quite a few 2-3-0 wins. Important to note that three teams remain unbeaten, and they are Ipswich, Portsmouth and Accrington Stanley. And at the other end of the table, Burton and Morecambe are still awaiting their first win. So if we look at, I don't know, let's go for Barnsley versus Wickham as the first game to sort of look on. This was a 3-0 win for Wickham. It included a wonder goal, 50-yard wonder goal scored by Gabe. Wickham currently 13th, and you know they've got 6 points. Is this now the turning point for Wickham, would you say? Because, you know, at the start of the year, you could suggest that they're still, you know, dealing with a playoff sort of hangover following that loss to Sunderland, the final. Do you think this could be their sort of stamp to, like, you know, just really start showing what they can do in the league?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think that this game was massive for Wickham. They definitely needed a win in this game because they've gone on 3 losses in a row against Bolton, Shrewsbury and Exeter in the league. And they've obviously followed this win up with a win in the Carabao Cup on Tuesday. So I think it is positive for Wickham, very positive for Wickham. I think McCleary has obviously shown his class again. Gabe's goal is just incredible, really. I think one of the goals of the season contenders. And is it Mahetmi? Not Mahetmi. He scored a goal too. And Freeman coming off the bench after a really long period of absence, really, with injuries. Yeah, but this game, obviously, a big stamp of authority for Wickham. I think that they'll definitely be up there at the end of the season. And Barnsley maybe be in a bit of trouble at the moment. They haven't really, well, impressed me at all at the start of this season. Only 6 points for 5 games when you'd expect a lot more from a team that just come down from the Championship.
Yeah, if you look at this Barnsley team as well, there's not a lot of changes. You know, they've still got players such as Callum Stiles, Devante Cole starting up front. You know, they've still got quality players and they haven't really seemed to get going in such a way. And then, let's not forget, this is a team that 2 seasons ago running the playoffs in the Championship, and it's just all seemed to have gone wrong. And now they've currently sat 16th in League One. Do you think you know, it's Barnsley isn't a small team. Do you think that they need to really start stepping up, or could they find themselves in a bit of difficulty a bit later on in the season?
Yeah, they're already after five games. They're already 2 points off playoffs, which is not great after five games, because you would have thought they'd be right up there after five games around the Bolton, Charlton, and Argyle, really. Because again, they are a champ. Well, they've just come down from the Championship. They weren't great last season in the Championship, probably the worst team in the Championship. But you still expect them to be pretty high up, seeing as they've got a massive good budget compared to like half the teams in League One. So you definitely would have thought they'd be up there and would have started off this campaign with a bit of a bang, really.
And if we continue with the theme that we were talking about earlier about how, you know, substitutions and their squad, if you're looking at their bench for the weekend, they've got players such as Nicky Cadden, you know, a fullback that they've signed from Forest Green last year. They've got James Norwood, a good striker. So they have got a strong bench. So it's quite surprising that they're starting to find themselves in this position.
It's surprising that they didn't even start Cadden, really, because you would have thought he's one of the best players in this league. Because he was one of the best players in League Two last season, and James Norwood as well. You would have thought he'd have done quite a bit this season, and he hasn't scored yet in the few, well, in the six games that he's played, the five games in League One that he's played in, and he hasn't scored. And he is usually quite prolific in League One. So that might be a bit of a worry for Barnsley. They might have got in past his peak, which is awful, seeing as he would have cost a lot in wages as well.
Yeah, he's certainly a big player for this league. Wickham, you know, they're starting to show what they can do. They've still managed to hold on to players such as Josh Gowan, Gape, you know, Lewis Wings in there, even David Wheeler to a certain degree. Do you think that's been crucial this window for them to make sure that they maintain to these players and keep them going?
Yeah, I think the addition of Alfie Mawson is a really good addition. I think if he stays fit, which is a big if, because he's definitely not stayed fit in the last few seasons, then he could be one of the best League One defenders in, well, this year, really.
If we move on to another game, and we'll go for an unbeaten team, and we'll say Portsmouth this time. So Portsmouth, you know, they've just unbeaten start to the season. The weekend they beat Bristol Rovers 3-1. A lot of action occurring in this game. You know, Louis Thompson was taken off to hospital following a challenge from Glenn Whelan. We saw goals from Ogliff, Pigott scored a penalty, and Dale. How well do you think they've done this start of the year?
Yeah, I mean, Portsmouth are one of those teams that I don't really mind being up there, because I do rate their manager, Danny Cowley. I think, well, he's done amazing jobs at teams before, apart from Huddersfield. And obviously, the challenge on Lewis Thompson wasn't great. And yeah, he seemed a bright spot for Portsmouth, at least at the start of the season. So that might be a big loss, because how long is he out for now?
I'm not too sure, but
It looks like a long-term injury, though, doesn't it?
yeah, seeing well, me and you should both know Louis. He's played at Shrewsbury, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, and MK Dons. So MK Dons, he spent his time. He'll come back, play two games, and then he would be out for a couple of months picking up an injury. So being taken to hospital with him, it's probably not the best.
No, definitely not the best. I do think Portsmouth definitely did dominate this game, and this really, really makes me happy, because we've got Bristol at the weekend, and it looks like they're there for the taking, really, at the moment in League One. Their defence does not look great for this level at all. Glenn Whelan is pensioner now, isn't he? So he'll be, oh well, odd midfield, hopefully we'll be running rings around him. But yeah, Portsmouth, really good start, and I'm really impressed by them. Are they unbeaten as well? I think they are, aren't they?
Portsmouth are unbeaten, yes.
Yeah, I think Marlon Pack is incredible, for definitely League One. He definitely should be playing in the Championship. So yeah, he'll probably be one of the best players of this season. If you look on the bench, they've got Joe Pigott on the bench too. That's basically incredible for League One, having Pigott, who has been pretty prolific throughout his season, especially at Wimbledon, where he basically kept them up for like three seasons in a row. So he should be good. Ronan Curtis, he's always good, really. Definitely not League One standard. Definitely Championship on his day, definitely. But yeah, this Rovers team doesn't look amazing. Do you worry for them a little bit? Bristol.
I think they had a great start to the season, but again, that was only after 2-3 games, wasn't it? I think starting the signing of John Marcus, obviously playing against his old team Portsmouth, I think he's a good signing for this level. You know, somebody's experienced in League One, and I think he can add on that experience to the top end of the pitch. But they've got a few players in there, like Whelan, for example, or Paul Coutts as well. They're aging players. And I just sort of worry, because if you're coming up against teams like Ipswich or Sheffield Wednesday, they've got quick, nimble players. And on a different note, we've seen Sheffield Wednesday have signed Malik Wilkes this week. Do you think he would add a lot to that team?
Wilkes,
yeah. Sorry, I've completely changed the subject.
Sheffield Wednesday?
Yeah.
Well, why are we talking about Sheffield Wednesday?
It just flowed out.
It just flowed out, yeah. Well, Wilkes is a championship quality player, really. And he's just adding to a really good Sheffield Wednesday squad. So they might do bits this season, especially with him, because he's incredible, really. And I was really surprised that they managed to sign him from Hull. But if we bring it back to Bristol Rovers...
My original point was bringing fast players such as Malik Wilkes up against, you know, players like Paul Coutts or these aging players. Teams like Bristol Rovers will struggle because they won't have the pace on these skillful wingers.
Yeah, and let's look at the fixtures that Bristol Rovers have had so far. One of the two wins was against Burton, who are basically there for taking every week, and Oxford, who have looked very poor. So as soon as they come against decent teams, they seem to struggle. They lost to Crawley in the cup as well, and that's not great. Barnsley as well, who are an all right team. Even Forest Green on the first day of the season. I mean, you could put that down to a little bit of a derby. Can you say a derby? They're like half an hour, 45 minutes away from each other. So I don't really think you can call it a derby, but that could have been just an off game for them. But I don't know. They haven't really impressed me. And they might be down there by the end of the season.
Yeah, Joey Barton's got a lot to do there. Right, then another game that happened in League One. We'll keep on the trend of unbeaten teams and we'll head over to the Ipswich game. This was against your Shrewsbury, Luke, a full 3-0 thrashing. This was just the same as what had happened at MK Dons. Seeing goals from John Jules, Chaplin, Jackson. How do you feel?
Basically, they're better than us. I think Steve Cotchell agreed with what basically said the same thing. He said that they've definitely got a better first 11 and their subs, which definitely impacted the game. Our League One, their subs can basically get into our starting 11. You would have thought, yeah, not the best game for us. Again, 33% possession and one shot on target. I think one shot on target if we did. Yeah, one shot on target. We basically let them pass the ball about a lot. I think George Nurse is our only standout player from that game, really. Yeah, I didn't go see it because I had to go see my girlfriend. So, yeah, my brother and my dad went and they thought we played absolutely awful. For John Jules' goal, basically, I think Leahy gets caught on the ball and then Shipley doesn't close him down, John Jules down, and then Dunkley gets sent the wrong way. And then Morosi misses the ball. So that was a disaster class, really, from a defensive point of view. But again, Ipswich do have the squad to absolutely romp the league this season. They've just got quality in so many areas and they're just a really good team.
Yeah, if you look at the Ipswich team, it would be described as an all-star League One team. You know, you've got players such as Sam Morsi, Connor Chaplin, Leith Davis, Hairness, John Jules. But as we've, you know, the theme of this episode, I feel, has been talking about squads. If you look at their bench, you've got Freddie Ladapo coming on, Sonoluku, Carl Edwards. So looking at the Ipswich team, do you think this is it now? They're at the top of the table. That's where they're going to stay. They may move down, but they'll finish there at the end of the season, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. There was massive gulf in quality between Derby that we played on Tuesday and Ipswich that we played on Saturday. They just moved the ball around a lot quicker, a lot more direct too. Again, Chapman, he could be incredible in this league. He does have the potential to do so. And I had him in my FIFA career mode like 3 years ago and he did bits. So if he can recreate that, Ipswich are on to a winner, really.
Yeah, Definitely, definitely, definitely. I had a Colin Chaplin as well. It's unreal on FIFA.
Yeah, mainly because of his pace.
Yeah, it's just as FIFA is literally you get a pacey striker, it's a done deal.
Oh, yeah.
So in our predictions episode, we sort of both agreed on that the fact we think this Shrewsbury team would be a team not for this year, but definitely for next year. Because you know, with the signings you've brought in, do you think that's the case after these first five games?
Ask me in a couple of weeks because our next five or six games, seven games are really favourable. We've got Bristol, Forest Green, Oxford, who are right on the stinker at the moment, Exeter, then Port Vale, then Burton, then Cheltenham. So ask me in a few weeks because we have got a really, well, on paper, easy few weeks. But saying that now, we'll lose all of them. We definitely have had a hard start. We played three of the playoff contenders really in a week, so you can't really expect too much from them three games. But yeah, I'm not too worried at the moment, but it'd be nice to get a couple more signings in to help the squad because against Burnley on Tuesday night he said he tried and rotate the squad and only brought two new players in, and they were like 19 and 18 year olds. So yeah, kind of need a couple more signings, please Mr. Cottrell, that would be nice.
Well, let's hope that he listens and listens to your graceful words of more signings. Another game we should, well, he seems to be a common theme. We should get some theme tune music for this section. You know, it's the Burton time. Burton
Yeah.
Albion lost 2-0 at home to Port Vale at the weekend. Both goals coming in the second half. You know, the common theme of this will be to talk about the manager. I'm going to have a little rant to start with, I think. At the weekend, we saw Burton lose 2-0. And on Sunday, we saw Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink was doing full day commentary for Sky Sports, covering all the games, Newcastle, Man City, and whatnot. Also, at the weekend, he came out with a statement saying if he believes he's the problem at Burton, he will leave. Now, for me, I feel he is the problem. I think he's taking care of his personal career instead of Burton. If you look at any other League One managers at the moment, I know for sure with the MK Dons one, because it's the one I know most, Liam Manning, if they were to lose on the Saturday, best believe they would be analysing on Sunday, ready for Monday when the players come back in. And I think it's little details like this which are really crucial now in League One. They weren't a few years ago, but the power of technology, I think it's. I just see him as a massive problem there. I think he's more focused on trying to get the Sky job instead of trying to get Burton out of this league. Do you agree with me or am I?
I definitely agree with you. I think it's out of order for him to appear on Sky Sports a day after they have lost to Port Vale, who would be a relegation contender as well as Burton. And additionally, they haven't won any in the league. I mean, they've only got
One
2 points,
point.
1 point, 1 point, and that was a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, it was in Newcastle as well, that Sky Sports thing as well. So he would have had to travel 4 hours to get there. So he either went straight after the game on Saturday or in the early hours of Sunday, which would have left him with literally no time to look back on the match and think, oh, what did we do wrong? What could we have done better? So he's really taking it for granted. And obviously, this Burton job that he's got is taking playing second fiddle really for him at the moment. Because if you're a manager and you're losing every week, you either quit, get sacked, or you try and work on it for all night long to get yourself out of this. And I really don't see him getting out of this positively because it obviously had a lot of good faith with Burton Albion supporters, especially at the start of the season, maybe end of last season, because prior he did get him out of a relegation battle and a few seasons before he did a great job with them then. But he's just out of his depth for the moment. I really. It doesn't look like he cares at all, which is as soon as it doesn't look like a manager cares, then he should really be out the door. And he definitely is the problem because Burton have competed at this level and higher throughout the last few seasons. So I don't know why they're in a relegation battle when they obviously have the ability to not be in the relegation battle.
Definitely, even looking at the team, they haven't even got bad players. You know, they've got Borthwick Jackson starting in midfield. We've got Oshilaja, a well-known League One defender. Even Kelleher Dunn to a certain degree. You know, we saw him score a few goals a few weeks ago. Bought him up from Oldham, a very young, prospectable player. So there's only, for For me, this can only go on so long before we do see the first sacking in League One, and that being him.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I think he's if they have a bad result at the weekend, then he definitely should be out the door. And yeah, it's against Cambridge, so another one of the teams that should be in the relegation battle, even though they're doing pretty well at the moment. So if they lose that, I think he's gone. He's got to be gone. And if not, if they lose against Leicester City Academy in on next Tuesday in the Pizza Cup, then he can't come back from that, surely.
Right, I think we'll leave that one there for this week's episode of ranting about Burton. Let's do one final game then. I'll give you the choice. We can either go to Bolton Wanderers versus Sheffield Wednesday or Peterborough versus Lincoln.
Oh, that's a hard one. I'm thinking I'm going to go for Bolton and
Okay.
Sheffield Wednesday, seeing as they're both two clubs you would have thought going up, well, we're trying to go up this season. And yeah, it was, I don't know, it was a good game, obviously. But Bolton fans, they haven't been in the best form in the last two games, obviously, drawing against Port Vale, not ideal. And now losing to Sheffield Wednesday after a really good start, really. So maybe a tiny bit of frustration is kicking in for Bolton fans because, yeah, I don't, it's not been an awful start. It's been a really good start. There's the seventh. But yeah, they should have put up a bit more of a fight at Sheffield Wednesday, you would have thought.
Yeah, so Sheffield Wednesday sort of put the game to bed in the 36th, 38th minute. Two very quick goals. It seemed quite an even match. Bolton obviously having slightly more possession there, 57%, but both having three shots on target. I think it was just the two goals, one after each other, which sort of just killed the game completely. The goals coming from Byers and then shortly after Palmer. I think this Sheffield Wednesday team, last year they should have gone up. When I saw them play, they were just silly. Players like Barry Brandon bring real quality into this league. So they're currently sat fourth, and I sort of hope that they won't sort of fade off. If they do fade off, that would be pretty poor on their behalf with the squad they've got.
They're definitely one of the favourites for the league for a reason. They've just got an incredible squad. But if you look at Bolton, they've got a very good squad for League One, especially their bench. The bench is pretty good too. You've got Bodvarsson off the bench, you've got Dion Charles, you've got Kieran Sadler. So yeah, they've got a pretty good, strong squad on the whole. And maybe it's just an off day for Bolton.
Right. Is that a wrap for that league?
Yeah, that is a wrap for League One. So I'll just go over the scores of the weekend again. In League One, you've got Barnsley 0, Wickham 3, Bolton 0, Sheffield Wednesday 2, Burton 0, Port Vale 2, Charlton 1, Cambridge 1, Exeter 0, Cheltenham 1. Poor game for Exeter that, losing to Cheltenham. Fleetwood 0, Derby 0, Derby frustrated again for the second game in a row. Forest Green 0, Argyle 3, MK Dons 1, Accrington 1. Oxford United 1, Morecambe 1, Peterborough 4, Lincoln 0, Portsmouth 3, Bristol Rovers 1, Shrewsbury 0, and Ipswich 3.
Right. So that was last week. Let's look into the future and go on to next week. Luke, I want to see your mind try and predict some scores here. We'll do quick fire scores again for League One. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Right. So, first game of the weekend, Accrington Stanley versus Exeter.
1-0.
Bristol Rovers versus Shrewsbury.
1-0 to Shrewsbury.
Hey, Cambridge versus Burton.
3-1 Cambridge.
Cheltenham versus Oxford.
1-0.
Derby versus Peterborough.
2-0 Peterborough.
Ipswich versus Barnsley.
2-0 Ipswich.
Lincoln versus Fleetwood.
1-0.
Morecambe versus MK Dons.
2-0. If you don't win this one, Harry, you've had a mare.
Plymouth Bolton.
2-1 Plymouth.
Port Vale versus Portsmouth.
3-1 Portsmouth.
Sheffield Wednesday versus Forest Green Rovers.
2-0 Sheffield Wednesday.
And then Wickham Wanderers versus Charlton Athletic.
1-1.
1-0. Right. Let's then move on up to the Championship. As I mentioned earlier, this weekend started with a 2-0 win for Norwich City over Millwall and finished with a 2-0 win for Bristol City over Cardiff. I think the first game that, from our point of view, we should talk about is the West Brom versus Hull. We spoke about West Brom in our last episode and we basically said they need to score goals, otherwise they won't. And it was almost like they were listening to us because this weekend they won 5-2 over Hull City. Five goals, all coming from different players, notably John Swift getting on the score sheet. Is this the turning point?
You would have hoped so, because West Brom had a pitiful start to the league, really. But they still have an underwhelming start for the season, really, being a 14th after five games. But yeah, Swift doing pretty good with a goal. Dean Garner with an assist as well. Grant, again, with a goal. Furlong, I think it's definitely an improved performance by West Brom. I think Hull do have a leaky defence. Both of their wing-backs played absolutely awful this game. Ryan Woods coming on for Hull. Oh, that was a transfer I didn't really expect. So I think he has replaced another ginger guy in Greg Doherty. I think Greg Doherty's ginger. Greg Doherty not in the squad for this game. I think he probably has a move on to League One on the cards, really. I'd love him back. But yeah, again, Estupiñán with two goals should have been the man of the match, really, if West Brom didn't score that many goals. Estupiñán is now top scorer of the championship. Did you expect him to be this prolific so far, Harry?
No, to be honest. I thought, he's a player that's capable of scoring a lot of goals. I didn't think he would go straight to the top, if I'm being honest. I thought, there's quite a few other players out in this league. Berrettin Diaz, for example. Pukki was the one at the start of the year, but obviously their injury sort of slowed him down. But it's great to see, a team like Hull, who aren't favourites to be all the way at the top in the playoffs, having a striker who's at the top of the goal scoring. So let's see if he can keep going, I guess. Two goals at the weekend. Let's see how many he can get the next weekend.
Yeah, I think this game is definitely a blip for Hull City as a two, because they've been very impressive in the last four games before this. And I think they were unbeaten before this game. So it's a bit of an off game for them. I think West Brom finally, they put in a performance that they needed to put in the end, really. Because they're under a bit of pressure anyway.
Do you think, seeing as, how well you just mentioned, how well Hull have been doing, they currently sit sixth in the table, do you think West Brom, who started 22nd before they played this game, do you think this is West Brom saying, look, we're not here to be in the relegation zone for long, we want to make a mark and show what we can actually do in the league? Or do you think it's just a coincidence that they've done well against a team such as Hull?
Oh, no, I think that West Brom will be up there by the end of the season. I think they'll be around the playoffs by the end of the season. It's just been a really bad start for them. So it was not really a surprise that they beat Hull. It's a surprise at the scoreline, but obviously not the result.
Lovely. I think there's one game that we should look at and, just to keep going with the rants such as Burton, and that has to be Swansea versus Luton. We keep the themes going. Russell Martin. Now,
Martin Ball, yeah.
Look at Russell Martin Ball. Against Luton, they lost 2-0. We're seeing goals from Campbell. And it's important to note that the second goal came from Cameron Jerome, Russell Martin's former ex-teammate and also player, and Carter Morris, both combining, two former MK Dons players, Morris, a former Shrewsbury player, combining to score the second against Swansea. Swansea had 75% possession, but only managed to create two shots. Do you think the end is coming for Russell Martin?
I mean, his prime Russell Martin ball at the moment, isn't it? Not very effective, but a lot of the possession, he's done woefully. Let's be honest, and I'm quite happy about it, really. I think his move was too soon. I don't get all the hype about him, because I know, yeah, young manager, but he did average with MK Don's team, and he's doing worse than average with this Swansea team, who really should be pushing higher up the table, especially with Obafemi and Perot and even Allen. Grimes is great too. Harry Darling's a good centre-back. This team should really be challenging for playoffs. You definitely would have thought. And they've lost against Luton, who have had a woeful start to the season. Luton have not looked at all the best. Obviously, I think Luton will again push up there. But yeah, I just can't help but laugh at Swansea at the moment, especially Russell Martin. He just seems a bit arrogant, to be honest with you. So yeah, pretty happy. What are your thoughts on this match?
I think, like you said about Ross Martin, when he was at MK Dons, he took them from so recently promoted team that was struggling in League One, because obviously they went down to League Two, but we'll gloss over that. He took them from there, but he finished 12th in the league. And now that's not outstanding. And then over the summer, he built himself a good squad and attracted a bit of attention. He has this document apparently that he gives out to prospected signings, and it convinces them all to come or something, whatever he wants you to believe. But going at Swansea 2 years ago, this was a team in the playoff final of Steve Cooper. If you were to compare now Steve Cooper with Russell Martin, Steve Cooper took a Swansea team Russell Martin managed last season to playoff final, and he took Nottingham Forest from the bottom of the league to the Premier League. So thinking about Russell Martin, now I've said that, this is a guy that's taken a playoff final team and they're currently sat 19th. There's much more needed to be said. There's only so much time before he's going to lose the Swansea players. They haven't won at home in 7 games, and that is a long time. And Swansea's definitely not a small club. So
Yeah.
I think his time is coming up.
Well, obviously, if he don't get positive results in the next few games, I think he definitely will be on his way. They've got Middlesbrough and Stoke, who can be two pretty hard teams to play against at times. So I wouldn't see it going all his way, especially Championship football is hard, especially as a manager. Every single team you come up against can beat every other team in the division, as you've seen with Reading. So yeah. Really, I do worry for Russell Martin, and keep an eye on him because he could be the first managerial casualty in the championship.
And I think we'll leave that one there. The rant of Russell Martin over. Another exciting game that happened at the weekend was Burnley versus Blackpool. This game ended 3-3. It included two red cards. We saw Carey sent off for a foul on Mattson. He
Once.
was then sent off in the aftermath of this foul. Burnley at one point were 2-0 up before Corbanu managed to make it 2-1. The score was 3-1 at half time. And goals from Lavery and Yates helping bring it back. Two questions.
Yeah.
Firstly, what do you think of this game? That's just a standard. But secondly, Burnley are currently sat 15th in the league, and that's not an ideal start for Vincent Kompany's men, is it? They've got a team which you could argue stick to this all-star thing. They've got, a lot of class players in this team, Brownhill, Cullen, they're just two that come to my mind straight away. Do you think there's a big problem going behind the scenes, or is this just a bump in the road?
I think it could be just a bump in the road because obviously these players are adapting to a new style of play. Well, many of these players are anyway, seeing as they have gone from one of the most long ball in the division to the least amount of long balls in the division. I think that's obviously a big change for them. I think this game was basically game of the season so far. I think three, well, six goals in the game, two red cards, a really good comeback from Blackpool, which we didn't expect with them being 3-1 down. But yeah, Teller looks an incredible prospect, and Southampton have got some gold dust on their hands because he just looks incredible. Whenever I've seen him, because obviously Burnley have been on TV quite a lot in the last few weeks, he's just been insane. And I think he could tear up the championship.
Definitely. Other players like Rodriguez getting a start down the middle, Brownhill as well, Roberts. This is just a team full of class players. And again, they've got a strong bench as well. Be interesting to see Scott Twine when he's fully fit and back in, see if he can help kick him on and score some goals for him. If we do look at this Blackpool team, this is a team that finished mid-table last year, and they've sort of maintained that this year. They're currently sat. What's it gone? They're currently sat 11th. Signing such as Theo Corbany as well, who's proved to be a very good winger down in League One last year. She's been one of the best. Do you think they've got the squad to maintain that mid-table side, or could they, second season syndrome?
I think they will drop off a bit. I don't think this team is really suited to Appleton's style. I think it was definitely suited for the Critchley style of play. Critchley, who went to be a number two at Aston Villa, I don't really get that. But yeah, I think Blackpool are a solid team this season. I don't think they'll have any troubles going down, but obviously, I don't think they'll trouble the top of the table either. If we look at the red card, the red cards, it was a bit of a silly incident, wasn't it? Because I think that Carey, that was a yellow card at most. He hardly touched Martson. And then Martson just obviously, his reaction basically got them both sent off.
Yeah, it's definitely one player losing control. We could say a bit of a McCurdy, if you would. But yeah, it's a bit like that Tomlin red card a few weeks ago at the start of the season, where it's the aftermath of what he's done or something random that set him off, and he's got himself a red card for not actually playing football that way now.
Yeah, because the tackle from Carey was obviously a yellow at most, really. And then just Martin was just, he's just incensed by it, really. He just came steaming onto the pitch after he got knocked off and pushes Carey over, which obviously got him the red card because it was just mad, basically, at the end of that game. But this game was obviously an incredible game. And I look forward to seeing both teams going forwards, really, because Burnley look susceptible at the back, pretty good going forwards, whereas Blackpool's look like a solid unit.
Definitely. Another game, I guess, in the championship you could look at now is Sheffield United. They moved top of the championship following a 3-0 win over Blackburn Rovers, who themselves were top of the league. So is this a real stamp for Sheffield United saying this is our year?
Oh yeah, I think Sheffield United are one of the favourites to go up and. Rightly so, really. Paul Heckenbaum has done an incredible job since taking over at the start of last season, or basically start of last season. I think the guy before him only played like 10 games and they were 18th or 19th. But they've definitely got a few Premier League players in their squad. I think Matt, is it Max Lowe? I think I'm surprised to see him starting in the Championship, seeing as he didn't really start for Forest last season. Are you surprised about that?
I think he's a quality player. He might have had a good pre-season, get himself in the team. I think the one real player that stood out in this game for me was Ndiaye for his goal. Was it two goals, actually? He's double goal, 72nd and 79th minute. What do you think about him? I think he's a player that came through last year, and I think he's well on his way up to the Premier League if he keeps up with performances like this.
Oh yeah, he's really young too, and he impressed me last season, and he's obviously impressed me in this game. I think Sheffield United, have got a real star on their hands, and I think he'll definitely go for millions at the end of the season, if not January. I'm just going to go through the rest of the scores. Some that we have covered, some that we haven't. Norwich 2, Millwall 0, Birmingham City 0, Wigan Athletic 1, Burnley 3, Blackpool 3. Coventry City, Huddersfield Town, cancelled again because of the pitch. Preston, nil. Watford, nil. QPR, one. Rotherham, one. Reading, one. Great call by Tyrese Fawner. Definitely did predict him to do really well this season. You can hear that on episode one. Middlesbrough, nil. Sheffield United, three. Blackburn, nil. Stoke, nil. Sutherland, one. Swansea, nil. Luton, two. West Brom, five. Hull City, two. Yeah, Bristol City. Two Cardiff nil. I saw that match. Great match, end to end stuff. Really impressed with Bristol City, and that wraps it up for last weekend's play, really.
Right, lovely. I think let's finish off this episode then with your quick fire results for the championship. Right, so are you ready?
I am.
Lovely. So if we start with the Friday game, Luton versus Sheffield United.
2-0 Sheffield United.
And moving on to Saturday, Sunderland versus Norwich.
2-0.
Blackburn Rovers versus Stoke City.
1-0 Stoke City.
Blackpool versus Bristol City.
2-0 Bristol.
Cardiff versus Preston North End.
1-0.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Huddersfield versus West Brom.
2-0 West Brom.
Hull versus Coventry.
2-0.
Middlesbrough versus Swansea. Okay,
1-0 Middlesbrough.
that would see Swansea in the relegation zone for the Russell Martin rant we've had. Millwall versus Reading.
2-0
Rotherham versus Birmingham.
1-0.
Watford versus QPR.
2-0 Watford.
Wigan versus Burnley.
1-0.
And that is it. There's no
That is
games
it. That is
happening
my
on
great
Sunday this weekend. So that sort of brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. If you've made it this far, we're, you know, still getting through this. Any final words, Luke?
Yeah, hopefully we're getting better at this. And I hope for an improved result and style of play at the weekend, really, because I cannot keep watching this boring brand of football.
And let's also hope for future episodes that the Chetham of Burton and Swansea have listened to our rants over the last four episodes. I've been Harry. That's been Luke.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. And hopefully you'll hear from us next time.